This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
This morning, I want to talk to you about something that is another game changer. The challenge with this one is oftentimes people are looking for something really, really big. They look for something really dynamic to change their life, and we find it's often the small things that have a big impact. So this morning, I want to talk about something small that has a big impact. And if you don't think small things can have a big impact, then you've never broken your little toe. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You've ever broken your little toe? Man, you'll realize, I didn't realize I had a little toe till I hit the door jamb going full speed and broke that thing. And so you realize it has an impact. Small people can have a big impact. Yeah. Football players will tell you, so you better watch for those small guys because they will hit you hard. My wife is just a little bitty thing. And we were first married. I made the mistake one time of, in the middle of a heated confrontation, I pointed my finger at her. In fact, I put my finger right in her face. That was a mistake. I don't suggest you try that. Man, she's a lot quicker than I thought. She reached up, she snatched it, and then she started bending it right back. She said, "What did you do?" "I cried uncle," is what I did. But little people can have a big, reminds me of that story about a little guy sitting in a sports bar watching a game and a rowdy group comes in and their big bully leader shared a joke and everybody in the bar laughed except this little guy. He's just watching the game. Well, that made the bully mad. He comes over to the little guy. He said, "So you didn't like that joke?" He said, "Don't make me go international on you." His friend said, "What?" He said, "Watch this." And he hit him on the side of the head. He said, "That was a karate chop from China." Then he grabbed his arm, he twisted it, and he pulled him off the bar stool. He said, "This is a jiu-jitsu hold from Brazil." Then he took him and threw him over his hip, threw him right on the ground. He said, "That was a judo throw from Japan. I just went international on you." And he walked away, and they're all laughing. No one noticed this little guy slip out, and they didn't notice him. He slipped back in just a few minutes and knocked that bully just smooth out, knocked him on the floor. And then he stood over him and said, "And when he wakes up, tell him that was a 2x4 from Home Depot." Made in America, baby. That's what I'm talking about. You got to watch out for little people. Here's the last little thing with a big impact. You don't realize how little things can impact you unless you've been bit by a fire ant. I never knew there were fire ants till I moved to Texas. And then I was standing on a fire ant, man, barefooted one day, and I found out real quick it's the state insect, man. That thing, though, they ate me up. Little things can have a big impact. And the Bible actually talks about some little things that can have a big impact in your life as well. So this in the book of James is where it is, and this is what we're going to talk about this morning. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. This morning, I want to talk to you about high-value words. And the Bible talks about words, and we often think of words, and we just go, "Oh, words, words are, you know, I'm just saying, I just... You know, words are, Alan, words don't have any impact." I think it'd be good if we backed up and looked at the fact that even we think they might be little, but God looks at them completely different. In fact, when he was talking about this, he said, a bit's not big, but it can turn a horse. A rudder's not big, but it can turn a ship. You know, a fire, you don't have to have much of a fire to start a forest fire. You can throw a cigarette or a match, have started forest fires all through our country. And so what he's saying is the tongue is the same way. Now, it's interesting that James talks about direction, turning a horse, turning a ship, talks about direction and destruction. And here's what I want to share with you this morning. Your words can affect the direction of your life, and they can cause destruction in your life. But here's the good news. If your words can get you going in the wrong direction, we can get them going in the right direction. And if your words have caused destruction, they also can bring life and healing as well. So this morning, as we talk about that, a number of years ago, there was a young man that came through the Ark who reminded me a little bit of myself. He was, of course, a lot younger. He was a good-looking kid. He was a party guy. He's like he reminded me of myself many, many years ago. He had just come out of that that background. He'd come into church. He's involved. I really saw a ministry call on his life. One of our young ladies here in the church was dating him. And so I took him under my wing. I'm trying to help him, bring him along. And this young lady said that he wouldn't tell this to me, but he told this to her. He kept saying things like, I don't know if I can live this life. I don't know if I can do this. This is hard. So he was talking about how he used to party. He used to be a big womanizer. He didn't know if he could live and walk a straight and narrow. And that's what he talked a lot. And when I heard that, I went, uh-oh. Why? He started to get that thing turned in the wrong direction. And he kept talking about how hard it was and how much he had given up in his past life. And he kept talking about how difficult that was. And then he took her to a Texan game. And when she told me later, she said, Alan, he was talking the whole time we were there about how he could be in the boxes, up there in the box seat with some of his friends drinking Jack Daniels. He said, and here he was with me. I told her, I said, sweetheart, you better get ready for this guy to move on. Why? Because his words were turning the direction, going in that direction. Listen, you say, well, Alan, it's just words. Can they have that much of an impact? God believes they can. And I want to show you how words can turn a life, but also words turned an entire nation. When the nation of Israel, just a fledgling nation, came out of Egypt, remember God delivered them, sent Moses. You've seen the Ten Commandments, you know, Red Sea part, plagues, all that stuff. When they came out of Egypt, God had told them, he said, I'm bringing you to a land. I promised you this. That's where we get the term promised land. He said, this is going to be a great land. He said, I'm going to give you the land. There are people in it, but I'm going to give it to you. It's a beautiful land. It's a wonderful land. They were so excited. So they went through the desert. They came right up to the edge of the promised land. And God said, send 12 men in to spy out the land. I really believe that the intention was for them to come back and get the people excited about what was over there. God said, I am giving them this land. Send the spies. So the spies went and the spies came back. Now let's read what happened. Then they told him, the spies told Moses and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we were well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours or eats up its inhabitants. And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak come from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. 12 guys go in. 10 guys have one report. 2 guys have a completely different report. Let's talk about the negative report. The 10 spies who went in, they first just brought the facts. Here's the facts. This is a great land. It's beautiful. It flows with milk and honey, which meant it was a land of abundance. They said, here's the fruit of it. It's wonderful. But then they started adding something to it. They started adding their fear. And they said, but the Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and all the ites, termites, overbites, all the bites, they're all in there. They said, we got a problem here. And really, when they added their fear to it, what they communicated was, we're too weak, we're too insignificant, and we can't do it. The problem was, that's not what God had said. God said, I'm giving you this land. And so what they said directly contradicted what God had said. And then Caleb stands up. He's excited. Caleb's like, hey, he did not see a different land. He did not go, hey, I've been to the land where all the people look like pygmies. That's not what he said. He went and saw the same land. He didn't deny the facts, but instead of adding fear to it, he added what he believed. And Caleb said, we can take it. Let's go get it. We are well able. And that's exactly what God had said. Now, after this report comes out, you think sometimes we look at reports like this and we think, well, if I'd have been there, I'd have gone with the positive guys. And that's nice of us to think that way. But there's something about negativity that people gravitate to. Have you ever noticed you watch the local news? I don't watch a lot of local news because it's never good news. In fact, they have a saying in the newsroom, if it bleeds, it leads. So in other words, if there's blood and shootings, that's the first story you hear. Why? There's something in us that gravitates to the negative. Let's look what happened here after the people heard the two reports. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, if only we had died in the wilderness, why has the Lord brought us out here to the land to fall by the sword? Our wives and children should become victims. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let's select a leader and return to Egypt. You know, when I read that story, I think, why in the world do they go off that way? But you know what? Sometimes negativity, the reason it impacts us so much is it confirms a fear we already have. You know, these people had a fear of dying. If you read their story, every time they hit a hard time, they're like, God's trying to kill us. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. So when someone says, there's a bunch of big people over there, they're going to kill us. We're like, ah, we're going to die. And so that connected with that negativity in them and their fear, and that made a bad combination because they wept. They cried all night. Well, they hadn't even fought a battle yet, and they're crying. And then they complain. Then it's like, okay, whose fault is it? It's Moses' fault. You took us out of Egypt. We were slaves. We didn't care. We took us out of Egypt, and now you brought us out here. We're all going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. And they're all, where did that come from? We're all going to die. And then they said, and we quit. So we're going back to Egypt. Now, Caleb is like, come on, guys. But it's interesting because the nation's response to words was the same response as if they'd lost a battle. But you say, well, they hadn't even fought yet. Why are they responding like this? Let me tell you something. And you know this as well as I do. You can lose a battle before you ever lose it out here. Now, there's some football games on this afternoon. I've already got my one Patriots fan down here. Where's my brother? There he is. But he's a homer. He's from there, so that counts. But you would be concerned if one of the quarterbacks, let's say one of the quarterbacks, maybe Blake Bortles or something, stood up and said, you know, they're right. I'm a horrible quarterback. I can't throw for anything. I got a lousy completion rate. I don't have a good arm. I make bad decisions. We're probably going to get killed. Well, one thing the coach is going to talk to him. You know who's going to pay attention to that? Las Vegas is going to pay attention to that. And the odds on the Jaguars winning would go down. Why? Because they recognize the value of the importance of words. Later on, you don't want your quarterback talking defeat. You ever hear guys talk when they're getting ready to fight? Anybody watch MMA? Those guys, they got their ears all messed up and they're all like, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to bust him up. I'm going to bust him up. You never hear one of those guys go, he's awfully big. I'm afraid he's going to hurt me. If I don't bet, but if I did, I'm betting on the guy that's going, I'm going to kill him, not the one that's going, I'm a little bit afraid. Why? Because words matter. In fact, 40 years later, Caleb gives us a real synopsis of what happens. He's talking to Joshua. They're getting ready to go in. Everybody over the age of 20 has died off. So Caleb and Joshua are the oldest guys in the room. And this is what he says. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, there's a lot in that passage. The first thing we see in that passage was Caleb said, I brought back word as it was in my heart. In other words, I'm not as concerned what I see out here. It's what I have in here that matters the most. He said, my brethren, those 10 spies, made the heart of the people melt. Well, how did they do that? They did that with their words. And it caused the heart of the people to melt. He said, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. How did he do that? He just agreed with what God said. So agreeing with what God said and saying that is actually a way that you can follow the Lord. That's a great way. Now, as we talk about words and how you can assign value to words, I need you to understand something. Changing your words, it sounds easier than it actually is. It's something we all work on. I still have to work on this, believe me. My mother said I was born with my mouth open and I never stopped. She said, Alan, when you were two, you were speaking in paragraphs. So I've been going for a while and I still have to watch my words. I still have to guard over that area. We were walking, Joy and I were walking just this week on the river walk in the Woodlands, and we were walking and there were some young ladies up in front of us, and all of a sudden everything comes to a stop. I'm like, what? I look around and there's this young couple getting engaged. And, oh yeah, that's what I said. Slowing up my walk. And so they had mom and dad and all these friends and everyone's taking pictures. I was about to photobomb the whole thing. I'm about to step into the middle of that. And so they're all doing this. And I looked up at those three young ladies in front of me. They're in their 20s. I said, can I ask y'all a question? They said, sure. I said, if you're a millennial couple and you get engaged and no one knows it, does it really count? Joy looked at me. She said, did you need to say that? And the answer is no, I did not need to say that. That is snarky, and I had to apologize. And if you're a millennial, please, I'm sorry. It's still a good question, but I'm sorry. I have to watch my words. They say, Alan, why are words? Words are just words. Words are powerful. Yes. Words are powerful. In fact, look what Solomon said about words in Proverbs. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So if you're going to begin to change your words, remember we're having coffee, right, guys? We're talking, right? I'm helping you. And we're having coffee. Alan, I want to change. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better grandparent, parent, minister. I want to be a better business person. I want to be a better Christian. One of the things I'm going to talk to you about is your words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You say, well, I don't talk about dying. No, you can kill things with your words. Or you can speak life with your words. So what do you mean kill things? Well, some of the negative stuff that you can pour out, especially if it has fear, it's not the fact, it's got fear behind it. It's got faults, it's failures, it's talking all that stuff. That's negative, that's death. Now, I just tell you real quickly, Joe and I have been married, it'll be 36 years this coming year. 36 to each other. Which is, from my parents' generation, if you're from my parents' generation, nobody claps. They're like, big deal, hit 50, then we'll give you a But here's one thing that Joy and I never did. We argued, we fought. I'm very verbal. She's pretty verbal. Two preachers in the same home. Not only can we talk bad, but we can bring scripture in to help it out. One of the things, the words that never came up between Joy and we counted it. We think we mentioned it two times in 36 years is the word divorce. We never used it as a weapon, and we recognized early on we have to watch our words in this area. Why? I don't want to speak death to my marriage. When you have kids, you know, it's so easy sometimes to get upset with your children. You know, kids come home and they go, Mama, I'm flunking math. And your mom goes, what? You're flunking math? Oh my gosh, you're going to be a derelict. You'll never get a good job. You'll wind up digging ditches all your life. Oh my God, I'll have to get you out of jail. Wait, whoa, whoa. Whoa, where'd we go with that? Why? Because as a parent, sometimes we have so much invested in our kids. When they do something, our fear jumps in. You're never going to amount to anything. You won't marry the right person. You're not going to do the right thing. And listen, you don't need to speak death to that. You may see a fact, and the fact is your kid may be having problems in math, but the faith you want to put behind it will make all the difference in the world. Instead of telling them you're not going to make it, you tell them, we'll get you some help. I believe you can do it. Not everyone's good at math. You're going to come through this. God's got great plans for you. And that's life. That's life. When I was growing up, we moved out in the country when I was about 14 years old, and we had a great next door neighbor. He gave us a plot of land to grow a garden in. Now, my dad had never had a garden. I was the labor on this garden. And so it's a long garden. We had rows of stuff. And the rows I appreciated were the corn and the tomatoes. Fresh corn and tomatoes from a garden are really, really good. But it's a lot of work to make gardens grow. I said, do you have a garden today now? No, I don't. I go to the market, we buy it. That's how it works. But we had those rows. And when we planted everything, I remember having a watering can that I went around and I watered all the rows that we had just planted. Why? Because water brings life to seeds. Water brings life to seedlings and plants. You know what I never did? I never went and got the gas can and poured gas all over the plants. Why? Because I valued those plants. I valued my life. My father would have killed me. And so I never poured gas. I never said, hey, Dad, I just gassed up the entire garden. Why? Because you pour gas on plants, what'll happen? You'll kill them. Right? So you say, Alan, why are we talking about gardening? Because if you look at your life, our life is like a garden. We have a row for our marriage. We have a row for our kids. We've got a row for business. We've got a row for our relationship with the Lord. And we've got all these seedlings in the ground. Why do we want to pour gas on anything that's valuable to us? We want to speak life. And when you speak words of life and words that have some faith in it and words that are positive, what are you doing? You're helping the garden of your life grow. And that can make a difference. Does that make sense? So we want to be able, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Here's the second one. Let me just talk about your relational row, because that's a big row for a lot of us. We have our relationships. Your words can make and break a relationship. I realize it's big events that can happen, but your words can have a huge event, can huge impact on this. I'll show you a scripture here. It's Ephesians. It says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now that when you hear unwholesome, we're in church and we think unwholesome, oh, that means cussing or that means something raunchy. And that's not really what it means. That word actually means corrupting, corroding. It's many of us can right now tell you things that were said to us years ago that were unkind and hurtful, and we still remember them. Why? Because those words can eat away at us. John Gottman is a psychologist that said he can sit down with a couple and talk to them for 10 minutes and determine with a 93% accuracy whether or not their marriage is going to make it. And here's what he listens for. He listens for four things: criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. But I thought the first two definitely have to do with your words. Criticism. Why? Because that can often be corrupting. Contempt is a character assassination. That can an abuse, and that can be corrupting. Our words don't have to be that way. If the Bible says we can speak words that build up, then thank God we can speak words that build up. And we don't have to say those words. And listen, if you, all of us are challenged in this area, if you're sitting there thinking right now, oh my gosh, I've been pouring gas on everything in my life, then thank God you can change. I'm glad you're here today. You can change that. Because here's what we have to do. We have to assign value to our words. And the highest value words are God's word. Now, it's interesting. I'm going to go back to what Caleb said. Caleb said, I wholly followed the Lord. What did he do? God said, I'm going to give you guys the land. Caleb says, God's given us the land. God said, it's a great land, and I'm going to give it to you. And Caleb said, it's a great land. God's going to give it to us. So when we're following the Lord, that's what it means to be a Christian, a disciple of Christ is a Christ follower. That's what we're doing. We're following the Lord. Now, he's walking out in front of you, and he's saying, you can do all things. Now, I got a job for you. You can do all things, but I'll strengthen you. And if we're going to follow him, we need to say, yes, sir, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Too often, though, we're back here going, I'm a horrible Christian. I don't know if I can do this. I just don't do good. I don't know if the Lord helped me. He helps other people. Doesn't help me. And the Lord says, the Lord is not going to sit back and go, yeah, you're right. You're right. You're horrible. He's not going to do that. He's going to keep going, and we have a choice as whether we're going to follow him, and we can follow him with our words. Listen, guys, we follow people all the time. LeBron James sells a lot of shoes because people follow him. Jennifer Aniston, remember her? She changed hairstyles for women in the 90s, like big time. Everyone had one of her hairstyles. I've got a friend who's an investor, and he follows Warren Buffett because Warren Buffett is, he said, when Warren buys, he buys. When Warren sells, he sells. Why? Because we follow people because, oh, they're awesome, they're wonderful. When we follow the Lord, we need to follow him with our words. Now, Joy talked about it a little bit this morning. Let me give you a good example of this. This is one of my scriptures for the year. It's this one, Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You can take that psalm, Psalms 27:1. You can memorize it. You can speak it during the week. And you'll find, just try it. You'll find, and when you first start saying it, it may sound weird to you because we haven't spoken that way before. That's okay. We're learning to think differently and we can speak differently. So we're like, Lord, thank you that you are my light. I do not walk in darkness. You are my salvation. You are my deliverance. And Lord, I thank you that you are the strength of my life. I don't have to be afraid. What do you do? You're saying what God has said. And man, that's powerful. That's life. You know, as I look out at this church and I talk about this year, the beginning of the year, here's what I believe for this year. I believe this is going to be our best year yet. I believe we'll reach more people this year than we've ever reached before. I believe we'll have a greater impact. I believe people will grow more than ever before. I believe. Hey, listen, we've got a building in the works that we're going to build. I believe we're going to start building more buildings this year. We've got bigger things to do. We're going to reach more people in world missions. We're going to reach out all over this world. We're going to do everything we can. We're going to make an impact for the gospel this year. That's what I believe. And I just told you what I believe, and you clapped. Now I'm going to ask you, what's your year going to look like? This is when you got to step back and go, by the grace of God, it's going to be my best year yet. I believe the Lord's going to help me. He is my light and my salvation. I don't have to be afraid of anybody. It's going to be a good year. I'm not going to call my kids jacked up. I got good kids. They're good kids. Just try it. Just speak life. I've got a wonderful marriage and a great spouse. And when you pick them up off the floor, just tell them that again. I've got a wonderful marriage and a great spouse. What am I saying? Your words matter. Your words, you want to get this thing turning in the right direction. You know how we started this? How we started our walk with the Lord? We believed in our heart and we confessed with our mouth that Jesus was our Lord. And that's how we live this life. We believe in our heart and we speak God's words from our mouth. Would you bow your head with me just for a moment? I'm going to ask, please, no one leave or move just for a couple of minutes. We'll be out of here in just a moment. But if you're here this morning and you say, Alan, I'm not comfortable with where I am with God. I don't know that I really don't know that I'm a Christian or not. I hope I am, but I'm not sure. And I want to be sure. Maybe you're just saying, Alan, I know I'm not a Christian. I want to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of my life. Or you could be in the boat I was in. I was raised in church. I came to the Lord at a young age, but I got away from Him. Maybe that's you today. And you say, Alan, I've been away from God, but I want to come back. Well, we're going to say a prayer. It's a prayer. We pray it out loud because we realize that your words and your heart matters. We're not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front. We're not going to try to embarrass you in any way. But it is an important thing. And this morning, if you're here and you say, Alan, one of those situations applies to me. I'm not sure, but I want to be sure. Or Alan, I want to come back home. I want to come back into fellowship with the Lord. Would you pray for me? I'm going to do that. But I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I'm going to ask you, if that applies to you, would you just lift your hand and say, Alan, this is me. I'm not ashamed to admit it. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. Appreciate your courage. All of them in the front and the back. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's wonderful. It takes courage. It takes humility to admit that. But thank you for doing that. Anybody else? Say, Alan, would you pray for me? That's me. Thank you. Great. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Now, I know sometimes in a situation like this, people feel like, I really wanted to lift my hand. I didn't do it. Listen, you can pray this prayer with us. Remember, it's a heart prayer. We believe in our heart. We confess with our mouth. Pray it out loud. We're going to pray it with you. You're not alone. So we're going to all pray it together. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Now, heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. I'll pray one more prayer. Father, I thank you. Father, for every individual here, you love them, you care for them. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your help. Thank you for the way, Father, we can change and turn the rudder of our lives to line up with you because you have such good things for us. Help us this year. Speak life. To speak words that have heart and faith in them. Help us make a difference. We give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.